Welcome home to the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm Devin.
I'm Alyssa Marie.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Mothica.
Hee hee, yeah, booty.
Oh my goodness, we have an extra special All Things Coheed episode for you today. We are joined by the very talented and charismatic Mothica. Welcome to
Wow, charismatic, I'll take it. I usually get sleepy, sad, you know, depressed. No, I'm kidding, but...
Well, I think for those who have seen your performance over the summer, knows that you definitely can get a crowd on your side. Sure.
Okay, thank you so much. I mean, that was obviously the goal, is opening for a legendary band, to try to just hopefully have a few people show up. And I'm so excited to get this email, because I really had one of the most incredible experiences of my life opening for Coheed. So yay, I'm super excited to talk about it. And yeah.
I have to say, I was a fan of yours, like, prior to you going on tour with Coheed, so I was, like, over when you announced, and I was, like, so worried, because I know that, like, I love the Coheed fan base, but sometimes, you know, we're not the nicest to newcomers, and I was so worried, like, seeing you coming on tour, and I was, like, oh, my God, I don't know how these people are going to react to her, and then, like, I went to two different shows, and, like, seeing the way that, like, the crowd just embraced you was incredible, and I loved it, and that alone was really emotional for me to see on top of your performance, so it was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it was so cool seeing you at those shows. But yeah, that was definitely a fear of mine, is like opening for someone, and especially like a real rock band, and you know, I lean a little more pop, and so it was like scary to just be in. That was the biggest crowds I've ever been in front of, so yeah, I think, I don't know, I tried to not look at the Reddit, but there was definitely some threads talking about me, and what I heard was mostly people, They liked it. So, yay, we got to win.
So we have a couple fan questions. And I guess, you know, going along with the line of opening up for Coheed, MacDaddy4 asks, how you deal with any hecklers at shows? How you are in the moment and afterwards? Like, does it affect you too much? Or is it just kind of like, ah, oh, this is showbiz?
Ooh, I didn't have very many hecklers. Honestly, it's kind of hard to hear when you're on a stage as big as Coheed's playing. So I would say I didn't have a ton of hecklers. I did see someone said that I talk too much during my set. I like to like give like intros to the songs and all that. But I only saw that online. I think the hardest thing for me is like I would play a song Forever 15, which is really emotional. And the opposite of hecklers is like if I see someone crying, I will cry. So that was like one thing I would have to avoid is making too much eye contact during that song. But yeah, I want to get more mics in the crowd. I would love to like have a straight up conversation during a show. I think that'd be awesome.
We had conversations after your sets.
You
did free meet and greets for every show on that tour that you were part of. And first off, that's just an awesome move. Like, thank you for doing that for all of us. I think we hit like two or three of those moon greets, which is super cool.
Yes.
You signed my mom's Advil bottle.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I signed so many weird things. And yeah, I wanted to do that. And I wanted to make sure that I was allowed to do that out of respect to Coheed and Alkaline Trio, that I like got permission to be able to like be at that merch booth. But yeah, I've never, you know, a lot of my fan base came online during the pandemic. So it was my first time like actually really meeting Mothica fans in that way. And I was super excited that a lot of new fans, people that had never heard of me before, saw me and came up and wanted to say hi. So I would love to keep doing like free meet and greets and signing more weird things, which became a whole little, like I would film it for TikTok and I signed, you know, a yearbook and a toe, a sixth toe actually, and a pizza. And
I didn't see the sixth toe. That's hilarious. I think my favorite thing I saw was the Pop-Tart. I was
like, yes,
a Pop-Tart to a rock show.
Funny enough, I didn't include the sixth toe in the video because it was a little like, you know, not everyone needs to see that.
No.
Okay. Did you have any, aside from the sixth toe, any encounters that were super memorable or really fun and interesting?
Oh, yeah. The funness came from the fans that were like bringing me weird things to sign and little gifts. And I have a whole collection, this like cool looking treasure box of all the gifts I've gotten and art. But I think the thing that stuck with me the most was meeting really young fans and like children that related to me. Or there's this girl in Nashville that I think she was like 8 or 9, and she was like crying and her parents were there, and she said something like, you know, I've thought about like, I don't want to start crying already, but like not wanting to be alive. And like hearing that from like a child saying that to me, oh my God, like that just broke my heart. And also like reminded me of like myself and why I got into music is because I listened to music to feel like someone else relates. So a lot of tears were shed for sure. So those were probably the more memorable experiences was, hearing people's stories.
I don't have TikTok any longer, but when I did, I loved seeing all of your videos, especially when you just moved and you were like redoing the entire like oddities room.
Yes.
What's your favorite oddity piece that you've picked up in your travels?
Ooh, in my travels. I think on tour, I did get like a candle holder that was like made of vertebrae, like a cow vertebrae or something. So I'm always looking for weird bones and skeleton things. But yeah, actually right now I have my sight set on, I just discovered they have like stingray skeletons. Yeah, you gotta look it up. I didn't think it was real, so I really want to get one of those. But yeah, my house is a mix of like dead things, moths, scary things. And then my kitchen is more like fun, I don't know, like a duck kettle and like a giant strawberry. And like, just, I have this balance of scary, spooky, and then like wholesome, cute things. Yeah.
It's awesome. The stingray is like my favorite sea animal. So that's why I was like, oh my God. Cause
I also love stingrays and devil rays specifically.
They're so amazing. They're just such incredible creatures.
Okay. Well, look up stingray skeleton because I am shook.
I will.
So you said you have a couple moths. Do you have any favorite moth? Like your favorite species?
I have a few. So my last album, I mean, Nocturnal, which is the album I, you know, toured on, it was a Luna moth. And originally I didn't turn to Luna moths because they look more like butterflies, like they're too pretty. And what I love about moths is that they're kind of the underrated, you know, more dusty, dingy, gray like looking creature. And so yeah, I love hawk moths. They have like the skull's head hawk moth that looks like it has a skull on it, and, you know, from that movie poster Silence of the Lambs. But yeah, it was really cool. I would, you know, obviously see a lot of dragonflies from the Coheed fans.
Dragonflies? Nah, not when we're around.
And I really want a dragonfly, like, taxidermy. I don't know if you'd call that for an insect taxidermy, but I really want to get a dragonfly, too, because they're so, so sick looking.
And what a cool way to kind of commemorate the tour as well.
Yes. Yeah. I actually was going to get a dragonfly tattooed before the tour, randomly, because I just love bugs and animals in general. But I ended up getting a scorpion and a tarantula. But there's more room. There is room.
There's always room for tattoos, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Until there's no more.
So Saline Solutions asks, you know, how do you talk about your life in such a open and honest way without kind of breaking down? Or, you know, does it get to you sometimes, you know, having to kind of put everything out there?
Well, for the tour, I would kind of write down a speech, and I wouldn't, you know, recite it every time, but it would became like a, you know, it's a part of the performance. I say it. So I would rehearse that, but I don't rehearse it in front of my band because I would get too embarrassed. So they only ever heard that like on stage. And that definitely helped to like have talking points. But yeah, I think when you're on stage, you kind of have to like remember that you're speaking to an audience, and that like I have to kind of turn that off because I can cry so easily. Like I am so sensitive, like, which is why I can't like make eye contact if someone else is crying. Like I'm just gonna absorb that. So that helped. And I think once I like get the song out, it kind of doesn't feel like it's my song anymore. Like it kind of feels like I'm just telling my story in a new way.
Talking about these other musicians that you have with you, how did you find them for the tour? Were they friends of yours? Are they on the record? Are they Guns for Hire?
Yeah, my guitarist I've been with he's been my only ever guitarist, and we just randomly met. He came to my first band practice more as like a joke and then just stayed in my band. And then my drummer was a newer hire. And when I moved to LA, I needed to find someone here. And yeah, so they don't write any of the music with me. They just come out for the shows. But yeah, it was probably all of our first experience doing a tour that big. And it was such a good like group to do it with. Oh, also my boyfriend was there and our dog Earl. So if you were in the line, you might have seen a sleeping chihuahua. But that actually helped a lot too, is to like kind of feel like I had a little family, because all of Coheed, that, you know, they had a lot of their like kids and wives, and it was definitely a family affair. Yeah, and that helped a lot.
Silas Gitch asks how your stage presence may have adapted or changed at all while you're on this tour with Coheed. You know, we were all at the first show, and then Alyssa and I, we ended up going to some of the later tour dates, like in New York and Philly. So, you know, we saw the change in the set list as well, but your actual performance, it seemed like you did come on with a lot more confidence.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you saw a difference, because I definitely, before I did this tour, playing live is really hard for me. It's like, I am an introvert. Like it is hard for me to turn on that side of me that's like a front woman. And there was definitely a part of me that was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to want to play shows again. Like my first show I ever played was traumatizing. It was like awful. And so this was a real experiment. And like, can I be a touring musician? Cause I can write songs all day, but you know, that's a learned experience. And I don't come from like being in bands and, you know, performing. And then I think after probably the third or fourth show, I started to try to have fun. And then that changed everything. And to remember that like everyone there is there on their off time after work to like have an fun experience, you know, maybe to cry. But like that just changed my mindset, because usually I was so closed off and so like, oh, I don't want to look stupid, or, you know, I don't want to move around. And I tried to just like remember that, to be in the moment. That's the hardest thing about it, is just being in the moment and going with it, no matter, you know, what happens, like sound issues, whatever that is. Like one show we almost didn't play because of the rain and the storm. Like to like go with the flow is a learning like experience.
Was that the show with the rainbow?
Yes.
We were at that show.
Yeah.
Same. Sorry, so Rainy. I wasn't there.
Oh, that was one of my favorites. I like one. It was like a double rainbow too. I was like, oh, how do I get a double rainbow tattooed but only be black and gray? Because that's all my tattoos.
Different shades of black, you know.
Exactly. I'm saying yes.
you said you're just, you know, you're going out there and having fun. So the set list did change. And Labria 86 asks, did you have any idea to maybe cover a Coheed song that they weren't playing, or, you know, just throw in a little interlude of any of their music?
Ooh, I don't know. I've heard that, you know, you shouldn't do that if you're opening for someone. You shouldn't cover a song, or like with DJs, I know you're not supposed to like play the I don't know. But I, at the beginning of the tour, I really wanted to be on sing Liars Club. And I love that song. And so I never worked up the courage to kind of put that out there. But yeah, that would have been a really fun one to sing.
Well, on Twitter, you said that you have the perfect song for Mr. Claudio Sanchez. So
I do.
What a collab that would be. But also Josh, under his rap moniker, Weird Science, would also be a very fun collab as well.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Yeah. I haven't told any of the, it's funny, I was just texting their tour manager, Ernie, before I came on here just to catch up. And I told him I'm doing this and I haven't brought it up, but I do have a song that, like, you know, I know Claudio is inspired by like Michael Jackson, that era. And I have this like really fun kind of synth wavy song that I just hear his voice on, because I have such a raspy voice. It would be so cool because he would have like a more like soprano vocal. But we'll see. We'll see. I want to throw it out there. But who knows?
Do you have a favorite member of Coheed?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's a terrible question, because how can you decide? I had like great experiences with all of them. I know my drummer got close to their drummer, my guitarist got close to their guitarist, and they're little twinsies, and we would always joke about their bromance because they're just like the same person. But I can't say I have a favorite member, but I will say Claudio and I have the same birthday.
That's true.
March 12th. Yeah. Although I think Coheed started in 95, and that's the year I was born. So crazy.
Meant to be. I feel a collab.
Yes.
It has to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll get up the courage to send it over. Does Claudio feature on many songs? I feel like he doesn't.
Last time he like featured was back like 2002, but
oh wow, okay,
he did just have Rick Springfield feature on one of his tracks, so I feel like he owes the universe a feature now.
I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, Travis, his son really loved my drummer, and he like dressed as my drummer for Halloween.
That's adorable.
And like, it was because my drummer would wear all white every show, and so he wore the full white fit, and I think maybe a blonde wig or something, I don't know, and because he had bleached hair during it and like drumsticks, and oh, it was so cute. I need to find that photo.
So we have another fan question from Big Man Claudio, and that question is also a question that, you know, if the answer is yes, you know, let me, we'll talk after, but do you play Fortnite?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I have never played Fortnite. I couldn't even tell you what it is. I just know there's dances on there and there's skins, but sadly, I'm not a Fortniter, if you call it that.
Any albums, artists, music, video games, anything that you're kind of like into right now?
Ooh. Oh, I'm constantly looking for new music because I'm a obsessive playlister. Like, I'm organized my playlists for fun. So always trying to find really small new artists. Right now I've been doing like a woman in rock one. So of new albums, I've been listening to a lot of the new Melanie Martinez album. Been listening to Bad Omens, a lot of Sleep Token. I don't play any video games, but I'm watching, you know, Last of Us, and I want to play the game after. Yeah, but spoilers, you know.
Such an incredible show.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, my roommate is a huge like gamer into all of that. So I knew about it way before. and it's fun to be watch it with like a Last of Us fan who like knows the game.
Now, not necessarily following in that vein, but you said that you are a playlist curator here. if you were to curate a playlist for someone getting into Mothica for the first time, what two or three songs would you have as like essential listening to become a fan?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's always a battle of like what's going to be my top song on, you know, the Spotify. And like for a long time, it was like these random EDM features or remixes up there. But I would say Forever 15 is a good intro to my story, my life. And then probably Casualty, which I would open my set with. And like, I don't know. I think just put it on shuffle as long as it's after 2020. And you're good. If you go before 2020, it gets into cringe territory of me trying to figure out what I sound like.
I would add RIFP and Vices to that.
Ooh, okay.
RIFP is like one of my favorite songs. I blare it. I love it. It's incredible. Definitely.
Thank you. That's on the list. A lot of people say that they think the lyrics to that is rest in effing pizza.
I mean, that works too, right?
which is not the lyric, but that goes back to me singing in cursive, as people say. I think cursive objectively looks better than normal handwriting, so that's always my response of like, you know, let me slur my words a little, okay? Let me pretend to be British in this song, okay? It just sounds cooler, but...
I feel like some of the best, especially like alt, you know, singers are like that. I mean, you look at Patrick Stump, you can't understand half of what he says in there earlier in their album. So I mean, like, it's totally on brand.
Yeah, enunciating is hard. Like, who cares? You know?
As long as you're vibing.
There's also the Coheed shirt, "Where's my lightsaber when I'm screaming danger?" Instead of the lyric "lifesaver." So you can make a pizza delivery shirt and we would all buy it.
Agreed. Wait, so it's an official shirt?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, their merch booth was truly impeccable. I mean, it is like they need a pop-up store for sure. Like the blankets, the coffee, the masks, like the box set. Like, I mean, they had like a whole truck just to bring all of that, you know? Like, that's what I really appreciate about Coheed is their dedication to visuals. And, like, that's something I care about a lot. And especially when you have, like, the graphic novel and there's, like, an entire solar system. Like, it goes so deep. Yeah, it's really amazing. And so a lot of my opening set, it was, you know, I played at 5:36 p.m. very early. And so the only fans that were there were the ones that had the VIP early, you know, meet and greet. And they're all there with their boxes, just like can't even carry everything. So that was amazing.
You absolutely do crush the visuals. Every single music video is a journey and a short film.
Thank you.
You have like an idea mapped out of where the videos are going to go, or is that someone else's decision?
Oh no, it's all me. And yeah, the videos are, I mean, it's a newer thing. And this last album was the first album I really had like a budget to do anything other than like, you know, with your friends. And so that's been super fun to like try to actually accomplish an idea that you see in your head. You know, for the last 2 years, I've been dating my boyfriend who's a director. And so we do a lot of the videos together, and which is we work like amazingly well together. And so I'm super excited because the next album, we're going to be doing all of the videos together and every song is going to have a video. It's going to be a visual album. So that's a headache, but it's such a fun challenge. Is like, you know, getting the song right is the first thing, and then to be able to create a world and a story around it, like that's really what excites me. So yeah, the visuals are just going to keep hopefully elevating until I've finally been like, yes, this is an accurate representation of my idea. That's just my life goal, is just to say that this works, you know. And I'm sure, you know, like being creative, being an artist, it's hard to it's hard to feel that way.
I have to say, I today, to like get amped up for this, I while I was working, I went through like your entire YouTube channel and I was like watching everything. And I know that you said like this last album is like when your visuals got really great, but I had never seen your Blackout music video before.
Yes.
Watched it today, and that was incredible, especially for being like what is very noticeably like a small set. You guys were
yeah
like, place, and just like the way that you work with color and things like that, even back in 2020 when that came out, it was so awesome to see, because I don't know how I missed it, but I'd never seen it before.
Thank you. That was that was a video I did when I was still independently funded that. And you know, I got a hook up my friend Bonnie McKee, who's a big songwriter, wrote a lot of Katy Perry songs. She let me use her house for that set. Awesome. And it was funny because that video didn't do like amazingly well in the views, but just the response was different, and that people were just like really like, it was very narrative and very, I don't know, that kind of like drove me to do more videos like that instead of just looking hot in a cool background. Like, I'm over videos like that. Like, I want to like tell a story and create like characters and a little world to dive in. So that's what I'm going to try to keep doing. But probably won't have that, blue demon actor again, because he just was the new Predator in the Prey movie. Mm-hmm. So he upgraded. Yeah. From Mothica's music video to literal like blockbuster movie. Yeah.
They're on his credit list. That's fine.
Yeah. So cool.
Has there been anything that you've implemented since the tour has wrapped up that you learned from being on the road with Alkaline Trio and Coheed and Cambria?
Yeah, I think the whole tour inspired my next album, like really. And a lot of that was more the meet and greets and like talking to fans and getting to know people's stories. And I think I was on a different path before that tour of like, especially when talking about or writing about like trauma or things I've gone through, like I was really struggling to keep doing that, because it is very emotionally taxing to promote songs and to make songs that are that like heavy. And so Nocturnal was me trying to make more empowered songs and more like feeling like a badass. And then when I got to meet fans and talk to them and hear people's stories, it reminded me of like my teenage self. And so it kind of like inspired the next album of what I'm writing about now. And so it could be seen as a little bit sadder. but like, I don't know, it just like grounded me and connected me with people more of like why I started making music in the first place is like it's supposed to be like a diary. But then in terms of like touring with them, I mean, just to see that production every night was incredible. And, you know, the giant inflatable like symbol that like comes up, and like that is such a goal to be able to headline shows like that and to make your world in these giant, you know, visuals on the screen. And just like, it is a gorgeous, like, looking show, and that's just so far in the future for me. Like, the production behind it stresses me out. Like, I'm like, you have to have a semi truck and like people driving your equipment, like that stresses me out. But hopefully by the time I get there, I won't have to think about that, and someone else will think about that. So that was inspiring for sure. And yeah, just being around them was great. Like, they're like literally like both Alkaline Trio and Coheed were so welcoming to me and so nice. And like, that's probably, hopefully not rare, but that was my first experience opening for a band with such a like, you know, legendary like history. So I'm really lucky that they were so chill.
So if you could go back 15 years and tell yourself something, what would you tell yourself? And also, 15 years from now, what do you hope you still hold on to about yourself?
Well, let me just have an existential crisis. 15 years ago, I was probably middle school or something. I think I was really rushing to grow up, and I felt like I didn't have a lot of time. You know, I felt like back then I already felt like I was damaged. And I would say that you have all the time in the world to do things and to have the power to like to do what you want to do and not feel manipulated into doing things. I think like society is different than back then, but like mental health and like that wasn't respected. Like to have depression, it was like mocked, you know, back when I was in middle school. So I didn't share that other than when I was making a song. So I would tell her that. I think about that a lot because I do try to write with like this, you know, 14, 15 year old girl in mind of like who I was. And then 15 years in the future, whew, hopefully I'd be saying the same thing. You still have time, you know, like I think as women, it's hard to not think that you're going to age out of a music career or something, you know, or like that. I don't ever want to follow this, I don't know, standard that like I can't do something because everyone else is, you know, settling down and getting married and having kids. Like I don't ever want to follow traditional things unless I want that. I don't know. Hopefully that was good.
That was awesome.
Okay.
I feel like part of the reason that like your music and just like you in general resonate so much with me is I also experienced a lot of childhood trauma, different childhood trauma than what you went through, but I experienced a lot of childhood trauma. So like even younger than you were when those things started happening, like I was having a lot of those same like ideations. And now I feel like what you just said is just, it's so, people that I've talked to, other survivors, it's so universal to be able to be like, I just want to tell little me that like you can talk about these things and you can be honest. And because like you said, that wasn't, I think you're like 4 years younger than I am. That wasn't something that we were ever taught. Like it was just, you know, you shut your mouth and deal with it and no one wants to hear it. And so that's part of like why you resonate so much. And today I like listen to your vlogs and things like that. Aww. That you did. And it's just, even like just having you in, I rehearse saying this and I still cannot say it. Having someone like you in the industry who, and I know it's not easy to talk about, but you're so open, you know, discussing those things and talking about how like every day, you know, still is a battle. Like it's very empowering. And I think that it's so wonderful that the next generation has artists like you who are more open and vocal about those things. And I just think it's so important. And I'm so in awe of you every time that, you
know, conversation.
So I was one of the ones sobbing in the crowd. Every time I hear Forever 15, I listen to it today and I've probably heard it like 150 times and it still every time makes me cry. So
I think, thank you so much for telling me that. And like something that comes to mind is like, it did take me like 10 years to write those songs about my teenage years. Like it took me 10 years later to be able to say that. And something I remember is like, you know, when I, you know, was 15, tried to kill myself and was in the hospital. And that's probably some of the first, my parents knew I was depressed. I mean, I was on antidepressants and all that, but like in my hospital bed, that was one of the first times I ever told my parents like about something that happened to me or like, and like, don't wait until then to tell someone what's going on. Like it shouldn't be like that far. And so I think that's why I'm so vocal now. And especially like, I think I had to stop drinking alcohol to kind of parent myself again. That's why it took so long. And, to like be able to speak honestly about it. But then you just feel so much like a weight off your shoulders. Like now I'm too honest. I'm too, like, I tell everything all the time and I'm like, oh God, but at least I never feel like I'm keeping anything in. Yeah.
Have you kind of geared the new music that you're writing towards the live performance to kind of be like, all right, getting in.
Ooh.
And now, like,
you know, I haven't, I try not to think about that when I'm writing or, well, a little bit, because I definitely noticed, oh, I don't put a lot of pauses between my verses and choruses. So it's hard to sing sometimes. Vices, terrible to sing live. So wordy. And so I guess a little bit, I think about performing them live. And yeah, one song that, like, my song Sensitive, I noticed, like, that went off really well in the live show, I think, because it has so much energy. So, like, definitely tried to chase that a little bit and have a upbeat banger moment, if you will. But when I'm writing, I try to just keep it unfiltered by, like, what it's going to turn into. Yeah, and this album, it's definitely turning out to be pretty different than Nocturnal. And we'll see. I'll try to play one of the new songs this summer. I'm doing a few festivals, so hopefully, I don't know, my band will learn it.
Do you have any information, or, you know, just a general idea of when we'll be sprinkling that new album over on us?
Well, it's in the mixing process now, so that means nothing. But like I said, I'm trying to do a true visual album, and, like, that means, yeah, 12 music videos. So there's 12 songs. Every day I'm like working on that, because there's, like, you know, I'm casting someone and, like, creating things. And hopefully by the time it's all done, what I want to do is kind of release each song as a single with a video. And then I haven't decided how much time in between, but I was thinking, like, 2 to 3 weeks in between feels good. Someone told me I should do it every month, and then it's like a year. But I'm like, no, who would? No, it's too long. But what do you think?
I mean, I'm going to go and say 2 weeks just so we get more.
Yeah.
We can, but.
I mean, you could drop one every week if you want.
Yeah.
I'm going to absorb it, you know.
That would be cool, but. Maybe every 2 weeks, because the idea is, like, it would kind of feel like an episode. And I know that most people are just going to listen to the songs, and the videos are really more for whoever wants to dive into the world with me. But you wouldn't want to wait a month in between your favorite show. Yeah. So hopefully then that means it would be like, yeah, over the course of a few months.
We switched our schedule last year from bi-weekly, so every 2 weeks, to monthly. And mm-hmm. We found that just as creators, if we even want to call us that, we liked the bi-weekly schedule more.
Oh, wow.
We shifted back to it.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Screw 12 Days of Christmas. 12 Days of Mothica.
Yes. Oh, my God. Every day? A new song and video? No.
Flip-flash.
No way. That would be so funny. Yeah, no, I'm not at the point yet where I'm making any Christmas songs. that will be a future thing, but I always want to do, like, a spooky Christmas special or something, you know. That'd be fun.
Please do. I am, like, my dad is obsessed with Christmas and Christmas music, and I am just overhearing the same 15 songs for the last 30 years. I'm just dying.
I love Christmas too. I can't lie. I just love the time of year.
Some Halloween spooky Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. We'll see. No ideas for that yet, but we'll wait for the Christmas Mothica crossover.
Speaking of all things spooky, you have dropped some absolutely gorgeous vinyl, and some of them are glow in the dark. Some of them are like this Cornetto white and black. We actually just picked one up. Well, Alyssa picked one up the other day. I can't take credit for that purchase. But do you have a say in what variants get pressed? Do you have, like, an idea that you are like, I want this kind of swirl, I want this kind of color to match the cover?
Yeah, Yeah, so the vinyl layout design was all me and a designer that works at my label. So we truly like did that together. I Photoshop a lot of mock-ups, and then I was inspired by Tim Burton, black and white, you know, checkers, and so the Cornetto kind of checkered look, that was super cool to discover that's a thing. And then one of the vinyls was my eye was printed, which I randomly went to a flea market, got a photo of my eye taken by this little booth, and then turned it into a vinyl. So that was all my idea, but I made the vinyl blue and green instead of brown because I don't know, the album colors. So yeah, I'm super involved in that. That's so fun. Although I will say I need to step back because I have misspelled literal song titles before. So someone should probably spell check me. But that's super fun. And I'm still, the next album is definitely going to be a different color palette. I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but it's leaning more in reds. Yeah. There'll be some red era happening.
Yes.
Are you a Swiftie?
Oh, am I a Swiftie? I swear I only follow back fans on Twitter. So my Twitter is just Swiftie content pretty much. So yes.
I get to see her next weekend. It's my 32nd birthday next weekend. Wow. I'm gonna see her in Tampa for the first time. I've never seen her live before. So I'm so stoked.
That's going to be an epic first time. And it's all the tours wrapped in one. So there you go.
It'll probably be the only time I go. Cause
how close are you going to be?
We are section 200, so we're just above lower bowl.
Okay.
So we're not as close as we wanted to be. We were aiming for lower bowl. But man, those tickets were flying, and I was grab something from this section to this section and just go. And that's what we did.
I don't go to many big shows because it's just so stressful getting tickets, let alone Taylor Swift tickets. But, yeah, I pretty much only go if someone invites me. So I got to see Lord play a giant stadium, but it's just it's a whole different, it's such an event. You're getting a $30 hamburger. It's crazy. I love seeing production and what artists can put together, and I feel there should be a back market of old stage sets. Like the band Ghost, they have some pretty cool stage setups. I'm like, can I rent that? Can I use that for me? I don't want to. Can I have your weird church thingy? I want that.
Now, how has being signed to Rise Records affected your music career?
So I was talking to a lot of labels, and I was independently releasing my entire career, and during my conversations with a few of them, I decided I wanted to do an imprint label and kind of say, I want to kind of start my own thing where my music comes out through you, but also through my label so that I can kind of keep that creative control. And my biggest fear was you hear those horror stories, you go to a label, they won't put out your songs or they shelf you. And I like to release a lot of stuff. So yeah, Rise was super down. The owner gave me a gift of literal Luna moth caterpillars, which I raised from babies, and that did slightly sway me. it was the first time I've ever had a budget to do anything, and I learned a lot. I definitely learned money can't buy everything. A lot of learning curves of spending a bunch of money on one thing and being I could do this myself. And I still, do so much myself. I am making props. I am I can't sit still. So yeah, it's been super cool. And they helped me make those vinyls. They helped make me this awesome Mothica blanket. And it's been amazing. So I think they'll be with me for this next album too.
Awesome.
Speaking of your props, I did actually get your record player tattooed a couple weeks ago.
Can I see?
On my leg. So
I'm okay, okay.
That's it looks so cool. She just showed it to me.
Oh. See, the gramophone needed more of a moment. It was such a, like, thing. I was like, this has to exist. How can I make this? And that was one of those things I spent so many hours on that, like, probably had, like, not very much airtime. But the fact that you liked my spiky gramophone, thank you.
Even I didn't know you before this tour. Randy introduced me to you.
Wow.
She was like, yo, you need to listen to Mothica. And so you definitely gained a lot of us.
Yeah, I went on, like,
so happy.
As soon as it was announced, I was, like, in all the fan pages, in, like, our group chat. And I'm like, here's a playlist. You need to listen to Mothica. Because I found you during COVID on TikTok in 2020, right before you did the fan project for Forever 15.
Yes.
Was when I found you. So it was awesome. And then to get to hear that you were going on tour with Coheed, I was like, yeah. Everybody listen to Mothica.
And worlds collide.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm hoping to get. I don't have any like tours planned yet, but I'm trying to do another opening for a band. And like, I mean, would Coheed take me again? I don't know. I would love to do that again. But yeah, that's amazing.
Are there any other bands that you've kind of been eyeing that you want to open for? And if you were to have any band or artists open for you, who would you want to?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really think about who would open for me a lot, but it's tricky because, yeah, I think I'd want to go with my friends, I guess. Yeah, like some of my friends are like Tilly, Lolo, Kaylee Morg, and alt girls in the scene. But I really would love to open for My Chemical Romance, Paramore, Bring Me the Horizon, Green Day, Fall Out Boy, Paris. I have a long list and a lot of pipe dreams, and I'm going to work on it. We'll see.
I can speak for all three of us when I say we'll see you there.
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
Yay. Okay, so where are you all based? Because I need to see if I'm playing there anytime soon.
Georgia.
Okay.
I'm in Orlando.
Yes. Okay.
But we travel. I mean, we went to Miami for opening night of the tour, and then I think we were in Atlanta for the other show, I think is where I caught you.
So here's a question for you. What is the thing that drew you into being lifelong Coheed fans? What was the turning point?
For me, it was the community. Like, I liked Coheed, you know, like, I liked the songs. I was like, these are really epic songs. And then I went to a show and I was like, wow, I've never been surrounded by a community that everyone's just kind of looking out for each other. And I was like, all right, this is something. And, you know, there's bad eggs in every bunch, but this is something a little different.
That's awesome. So it's really like the fans that keep you.
For me. Yeah.
For me, I had like known of Coheed without really like knowing of Coheed. And my current partner, when he and I first started dating, he was like, I think you might really like this band. I'm a huge reader. That's not obvious. So
you both are very collecting a lot of stuff back there.
Yeah, this is like my office/library. I'm like almost halfway to actually owning a library. So I'm really excited. But I like alt and I like all the, you know, fun things. And then he was like, you know, they have like a whole story that goes with their music. And from that moment, I was sold. And then like everything else has just been the icing on the cake. Like Alyssa said, I wouldn't be friends with Devin and Alyssa if it weren't for this band. I wouldn't have like half the friends that I do have if it weren't for them. So, you know, I think that the fan base is a huge part of it, but that's not what initially drew me in.
Wow. Devin, what about you?
I'll take the Oreo answer here. At my first show, I was 14, and we just became like a singular unit. The song In Keeping Secrets, A Silent Earth 3, that Man Your Own Jackhammer, just the whole place lighting up for that. It's like, this is a community. And then immediately getting home, having purchased their comic books from the show, and I'm flipping through, and I'm like, this is Star Wars. I read both Second Stage and Keeping Secrets, both compendiums in one evening. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is Star Wars the band. I'm here for it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Yeah, it was funny. I really wanted to like read all of the comic books and like just have some deep cut little things during my show, but my brain cannot store that much information. But that's what is so cool is like just the comic book and the Comic-Con appearances. Have you gone to see them at Comic-Con before?
Absolutely. And the beauty of it is like you don't need that to be a fan of Coheed.
True.
Like you can just show up because they play some kick-ass rock and roll. There's like a little bit for everyone.
Oh, I have another question for you just as fans of music. What is something you wish like your like artists was different about maybe the artist to fan relationship? Is there anything you bothers you or that you like look for in music?
I look for like when someone's genuine. Mm. I feel like you can just immediately tell if they're, you know, doing it for the check or if, like they actually care about what they're writing and what.
Yeah.
Something that definitely like puts me off is when artists kind of, let's be honest, it's mainly males, when they like kind of abuse that artist to fan like vibe. Luckily, I mean, obviously I wouldn't listen to them if I knew that, but I try to like only choose bands that I can trust. And I know you can't trust everyone, but
yeah. Well, that's important too with like the live show too. I'm curious, since you've gone to so many concerts, like what you've kind of learned or your gripes with like the live show or like camping out and all that.
I'm a proponent of the camp out. However, I would say more than like the evening before is just a bit too much. It's a situational hazard maybe for the people that are just trying to live their lives in that area, dealing with the pain of tents for the Gerard Way appearance or what have you. But you know, also the fan in me is like, hell yeah, if you're that diehard, like go for it, it's your life, we're on the floating space rock, do whatever you
want. Yeah. Randy, what about you?
I think I'm gonna like with Alyssa, an artist being genuine is like the most important thing to me. I was just at a show like a month or so ago, and one of the opening bands, it was just so obvious that their entire performance came off very disingenuous to me. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of them prior to that show. And it was one of those things where I was like, I have no desire to listen to you. I want nothing to do with you ever again. But I think outside of the performance, yeah, it was really bad. it was so bad. Like, it was just so disingenuous. And it was very obvious that, like, they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know if it was so much they didn't feel comfortable with themselves and their performance that they were trying to be someone else. And that was what was making it so hard. Or if they were really just, like, they asked us to be here, we're here, here's our show, have a nice day. You know, I really love the, you know, casual interactions that you'll get with like fans to artists. Like Claudio does streaming on Twitch, and I think that that's so cool that we get to see like that other side of him. But it's not something that I expect out of an artist, because everybody has different comfortability levels of what like they're comfortable talking to other people with. And I know that like Claudio specifically has come a long way in his social anxiety, because he used to, you know, he very much kept to himself, and seeing how much he's grown in that is really cool. But I feel like for me, it's so much stage presence, you know, just knowing that the person that's there wants to be there and they want to perform and they truly love what they're doing is so important. As far as like fan and show interactions go, I think that in general, like the alt rock scene is a pretty cool scene. We've, for the longest time, I mean, us elders, we all know how things have been for so long, you know, just looking out for each other. And there's so much camaraderie when you're at a show. And I think that that's so cool. But sometimes you have those bad eggs that slip through, and I'm not afraid to stand up and tell somebody to back up. So
I only had one bad experience on the tour, and it was a fan that had COVID and came to my meet and greet and wrote me a letter. And at the end was, P.S. I hope I don't get you sick. I have COVID. And then I did get COVID. So I miss those shows. And I don't know if it was from them, but they also said some weirdly sexual things. And it was a girl. But it made me uncomfortable because jeopardizing my health was just, and I didn't read the letter, obviously, before, you know. And so that was terrible. But I did have a question as a fan, too, because I do free meet and greets, and every festival I just do them, and I haven't had to headline before, so I've never had to do a paid meet and greet. And I'm sure you've done them with Coheed or other bands. I'm curious, like, what you want to get out of that experience, because I'm kind of deciding if I'm ever going to do them and, like, what I would kind of offer.
There's a certain level of understanding that comes, like, especially with Coheed, where the fan base is so large, and I hate the term cult, but such a, what we would like call a cult following. I think for them and someone at that level of, you know, fan base, it makes sense for them to charge because they can't afford to meet every single person. And I think that doing that allows them that level of control of, we know how many people we're meeting, we know how long this is going to take, like everything has been mapped out. I love a free meet and greet. It's incredible. But I feel like for the safety of the artist, that evolves over time as your fan base evolves. And it's fully understandable. I think that one artist, to bring it back to Taylor Swift, one artist who does really well with not charging for meet and greets, even though she is such a huge artist, is that she's not doing them this tour, but she's done them on understandably not doing them on this tour with the state of the world and COVID and things like that. But having just like, she has her team that goes out in the crowd and her mom that goes out in the crowd, and they kind of just like look for people that they can tell are like true fans and are having really genuine experiences, and she kind of gets to surprise and delight them. And I think that if you were to continue doing free meet and greets, I think that that's kind of the best way to do it, because again, it gives you that level of control of how many people you're going to meet and all of those things. So
yeah, that's awesome. I think the tricky thing with that is like, you have to have employees that are like assessing who can meet you. Cause that's definitely an accessibility thing, is like, you know, I don't want the only people to meet me or who can afford to, you know, like I want to meet the people who are going to really have be impacted by meeting me. So I don't know. I haven't crossed that bridge yet, but I'm thinking about how that would look for me, or maybe there's some slots that are free and, you know, random or whatever.
Yeah, that's what Thursday did for some of their live streams. You know, if you couldn't spend the money, understandably, with everything going on, you know, you could get a free ticket to the live stream. And I think you could absolutely, you know, if it's within your budget, you know, you also have to secure your bag. You're an artist trying to make a living, you know, to offer some randomly on the day of, like people on the regular GA line, like, hey, first three people online or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
But as a collector, definitely VIP merch is always
that's a big plus. Seller.
Something exclusive.
Yeah, just to, you know, not to flex, but also to flex.
Definitely to flex.
It's a flex, Devin, let's be honest.
But
do you have all your merch in a shrine? Is it framed? Where is the corner of the room? Like,
it's a room itself.
When they eventually get their house, they're gonna let me interior design there.
Yes,
that's something I love doing, is like laying out fandom stuff and collectibles, and I love it.
Oh, that's so
ready to do your massive collection.
That is so fun. Yeah, I can see it with like gallery lighting and everything, like it's like an art gallery of just glass behind glass, and you know, have the lasers of someone coming in the room, you know, like I don't know.
Sure. Don't tell people your address.
Yeah.
To kind of like bounce off of what something that Randy was saying earlier, how do you like find it in you to kind of share a lot of portions of your life with your fans? Because granted, you know, making music and art, that's what you do, but you have no obligation to share your life with us. So what kind of motivates you, or what are your factors for being able to do that?
Well, I think it's changed. And when I first had this little, you know, TikTok do well, which is probably how Randy found me, and I was like talking to fans on Zoom. Like, there was like a Zoom for 2 weeks people were on, like, that were just like, they became friends, and I was like interacting with them, and they were going to do a meetup, and then two people started dating from it. And I was like, it was very emotionally taxing though, because I was like full time talking to fans about my music all day, live streaming and just talking directly. And then it kind of got to be a little too much. And I like took a step back, and I probably haven't replied to as many messages now because I physically can't. And it, like, especially when it comes to like really emotionally vulnerable topics, like, I'm not always in that headspace. So I think that's why I love the meet and greets, because I'm fully present in that moment and will like get to really receive that versus someone sends me a paragraph, you know, like, I would rather just have that face to face connection. But yeah, I have a little Discord. I think there's like 3,000 people in there, and I go in there, and I really feel like it's like a group of people that believe in me and support me. So I'll share with them. I'll leak songs. I've leaked a few little snippets. That's dangerous, because I can't keep secrets very well. So I'm like, don't go in the Discord. Oh no. Yeah, I love sharing that. I will say, I used to have a license plate that said Mothica on it before the tour, when I was still like, I'm going to promote myself. And then over the last few years, that became a problem, where people would take photos of it and they didn't think it was me. They thought it was just like a fan or something. And I would have like notes on my car, only a couple times, but enough where I was like, I'm going to get rid of the Mothica license plate. So I no longer have that, which that added to my feeling of safety.
They could find my house.
Yeah. And you always hear, like, you know, scary stories like that of like, yeah, people, I try to like identify people's locations based on backgrounds of photos. And I try to be really mindful of that, because I've definitely had my share of a few scary individuals. And so I let people in as much as I can, you know, but not having a house party anytime soon.
You asked what fans kind of want out of an artist. What does an artist want out of fans? Or are there any fans do that you're like, whoa, obviously coming around you with COVID and giving you sexual windows is not the vibe?
Oh, I love seeing art made inspired by songs. I love seeing like tattoos inspired by songs, like you. And I think that's awesome when people turn it into a new format, new media. Yeah, the only thing I would say I don't like is, yeah, don't send me any, you know, don't flirt with me. Unless it's like harmless, like don't send me a photo of yourself unclothed. Yeah, don't do that. But if you're like, yeah,
to people at all. That's not
if you're like, mommy, you're so hot, wifey, sure, I'll love that. But yeah, I did have someone get mad I didn't respond, and they said they were going to burn all my merch and were very offended. And, you know, I have attention, you know, problems. Like, if I see something, I'll reply in my head and then forget about it. And it was a simple misunderstanding, but they took it very, like, you know, turned it into kind of manipulating me into wanting to burn all my merch. So I definitely would say don't do that. Yeah, but I love seeing artwork made from songs. I love seeing covers. I always just tell people if they want to get a Mothica tattoo, they can just get a moth and then they'll never regret it. Yeah. Some people are getting my scratchy handwriting and I'm like, oh no. You know, I'm just in the moment. I'm like, I don't know what this is going to look like. Just get a moth. But it's amazing.
I actually planned out the last time I was over at Devin and Alyssa's. I've been wanting to do like a music related sleeve because I have so many artists that I like really love. So I was with Alyssa and I was like, what if I did like tarot cards like down my arm? And then I did like a different tarot card for like different artists. So for you, I was going to do the Luna Moth with the moth has.
That's cool. What other artists?
Oh my goodness, I had a whole list of them. I can't remember off the top of my head. But like Fall Out Boy, they were my first like love of a band. I had like Coheed. I think I had My Chem in there, A Day to Remember, Bring Me the Horizon. It just kind of like kept like snowballing as I would like come up with ideas. So I have them all written down to send to
you're gonna have a whole tarot deck, 72 cards. I wanted to get a tarot card of the star because that was kind of like the nocturnal, the star. I liked that card was pulled. And I'm not really that deep into like tarot and all that world, but I had a tarot reader at my birthday party and they pulled the star card and I was like, whoa, magic is real.
Got too real. Yeah.
Yeah. Real. I was like, there's no way.
Do mine.
Yeah. But I love that look and I love tattoos. Obviously I just got a real big one and I'm sorry to my bank account.
That was, someone said something to me about my tattoos and I was like, my tattoos are probably worth more than your car at this point.
Oh my God.
Maybe let's.
Yeah. That's a great insult. Oh my God.
So what was your most recent? The snakes?
Yeah. I'm getting, yeah, symmetrical snakes down my ribs to thigh. Yep. Don't regret that. No, it's been great. It's been an idea I had for like 5 years and like, I really regret some of my more impulsive tattoos. So I try to sit on an idea for a little bit now. Although my legs, I'm probably going to do some dumb things. Like I really want a goth Furby and a unicorn skeleton. So I save my legs for the more fun ideas.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Rob did say hello. He told me he wouldn't be my friend anymore if I didn't really- So
we'll tell him hello and that he's gonna have to do a separate addendum podcast with me where we go into deep cuts. I don't know what, but yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds
good. I'm gonna be doing a grandson podcast with the grandkids.
Ooh, very
fun.
Yes. So I'm stoked. And I'm like just doing all the fan podcasts to be like, please take me on tour.
Would you ever, if they ask, because we are going to get a survey at the end, go on the Coheed cruise?
Yeah. I had a dream about a cruise last night.
Like, we all bully them enough.
I was so sad not to see you on this lineup for the next one. I was like, why is Mothica not on this?
Wait, there's one this year? Yeah, like it happened?
It's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Message Ernie and be like, Ern, get me on that boat.
This is I'm scared, but feminist because you have all male energy. What's going on?
Oh my God.
Wait, who are the openers on it?
It's all dudes.
Who are the openers?
Sunny Day Real Estate, Anthony Green.
Soundtrack. Love Anthony Green.
Tanahashi.
Oh my God. Tanahashi. Mannequin Pussy.
Yeah.
It's still very skewed.
I know. I'm going to riot.
I was Meet Me at the Altar, Mothica.
Yes.
I was expecting all of the bands that they had the first time.
Yeah.
Like Hail.
And have you been on it before?
Speaking of your women in rock, Spotify, add some Ithaca.
Yes.
I guess they're kind of like.
Oh, Ithaca? That's a band?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll check them out. I was thinking Mothica. I was like, what?
You're like, that's me.
Yeah, I definitely missed a lot of it's so messed up. I actually didn't even have Paramore on it, which is like just a sin. Like, why would I admit that? But I was truly trying to think of like more like lesser known bands. So I just like blocked them out. So that was embarrassing. One of my favorite bands. But yeah, I tried to find some real baby bands and some more support the female presenting ladies. I always have to do a lot of research, make sure that they are female identifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to ask about that cruise. Although I just saw that movie about a cruise.
So it was fine. I was totally freaked out. I literally cried walking on, but it was fine. like an hour later. Like,
yeah. Well, you survived, so that's great.
I have like really bad social anxiety, so I was like, oh my god, I'm getting on this boat with, because I really didn't have like, the cruise is really where I made a ton of my Coheed friends. Mm. So I was like, I'm gonna get on this boat and I'm just not gonna talk to anybody and it's just gonna suck and da da da. And then it was like just being in a contained environment with a bunch of people who like have the same, you know, ideologies that you do and they love the same bands that you do. It was very easy to just immediately feel at home.
Were you by yourself?
No, my partner was with me, but we are literally like polar opposites. He could walk into a room and make friends with 20 people and I could walk into a room and walk out not talking to anybody. So
it's okay, we met and then we instantly became friends.
Love it.
I'm a big advocate of giving flowers to the living. I feel like so often after people are no longer with us, we like sing their praises and talk about how much we love them and they don't need them when they're gone. They need them when they're here.
I love that.
So just thank you so much for you know, being here and being such an incredible artist and such an incredible creative mind. You know, without knowing it, you've made like a super positive direct impact on my life. You know, just not only through your music and your openness, but I'm actually really good friends with Aurelia now. I talk all the time on Instagram, and they very quickly became one of my favorite people. I'm just so thankful for you.
Thank you.
So and thank you for being here on this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So the last two questions, the first one is kind of a two-parter, technically three, but what is your favorite Coheed song and or album? Doesn't have to be.
I have to say Liars Club is my favorite of the new album. Yeah, so I guess that new album, Vaxis.
So really the actual last question is, where can people find you? What do you have coming up that you're excited for? We know you got Rockville for us down south, but what other festivals are you hitting?
Oh yeah, on my Instagram at Mothka, I have all the shows in my bio. I have an unannounced show in the UK, if there's any UK fans. And then I'm going to be hopefully releasing my third album this year, whenever I finish that. And I think that's all for me.
Very cool. Well, if you're listening to this interview, you can find us, the All Things Coheed podcast, on our social medias, but turn those E's into threes because that is how we do it. But seriously, thank you so much for joining us. This was really cool. It was great getting to talk to you in this capacity.
Oh, I meant to ask, how many like Coheed like members or crew have you had on here?
We've had everyone except for Claudio. So we've had Josh.
Wow.
Chandra.
So Claudio's a final Pokemon.
He did an intro for us, which is, you know, more than we could really ever ask. But
what about Atlas?
I'm going to leave the kids out of that one. But
yeah, no, that's fair.
When he's older.
Yeah, when he's older. When he picks up a guitar and is like, I'm going to start jamming. And then we'll be like, all right, so who's your influence and why is it your father?
hey, Chandra is a beast in her own right as far as her creative mind goes.
Her memes she posts are great. I love those memes.
Well, on that note, this has been another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm Devin.
I'm Melissa Marie.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Mothika.
Thanks for joining us.
Yay. Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful Friday. God, the Coheed fans are going to come for me if I don't say it right.
That's just to a window of the waking mind. She didn't say
window of a waking mind.
Cancel Mothica.